The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the essence of saving faith? Is it believing in the Father, or believing on the Son, or believing the promise? Is it two of the three, or all three? We'll have a discussion about this today, and we're glad that you're with us here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are glad you're with us today, friend. We'd love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There you can find and subscribe to our daily blogs. Five times a week, they will show up in your mailbox. There are other things to know about us as well. Find them at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Today we got a question here from Mark on John 17:3. I'll go ahead and read that.
Okay.
And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. And Mark writes, your statement of faith says, quote, saving faith is the conviction that Jesus Christ indeed guarantees eternal life to all who simply believe in him for it, end quote. How do you square the two statements? One is a belief in the person of God the Father and Jesus the Christ, Messiah, the divine and human Son of God. The other is belief in the promise of eternal life.
Okay, Mark, good question. And I guess I'll briefly comment on John 17:3, because I don't think it's saying what most people think it says. And then we'll go to a verse that I think hits Mark's point better, and we'll discuss that. But in John 17:3... as you read, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Notice it doesn't say that the way we get everlasting life is by believing in the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. It says this is everlasting life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. My view is that having everlasting life makes it possible to know the Father and the Son, and that knowing the Father and the Son is not talking about being born again, but it's talking about experiential knowledge of him. Like, for example, in 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Knowing him there is more than being born again. It's being in fellowship with him. And the same thing in John 14, where Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long, Philip, and yet you don't know me? Well, he was clearly talking about more than simply recognizing who he is or being his friend, but it was an experiential knowledge of him. And so I don't think John 17:3 is a good evangelistic verse.
So what does the eternal life in John 17 refer to? It's just the knowing God?
No, I think what he's saying is everlasting life makes it possible to know God. And the everlasting life here is having possession of it. Yeah. And go back to John 5:24, because I think it says what Mark is asking about.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
Now here, it does talk about believing in him who sent me, and that clearly is God the Father. So to make Mark's point, could this verse be talking about believing in God the Father and believing in the Son? Because notice it says, he who hears my word. So could you say that this is believing the Father and believing in the Son, but not believing in the promise? Well, I would say no. I would say what Jesus is saying here is it's impossible to believe the Father without believing in the Son whom he sent. And in order to believe in the Son whom he sent, you have to believe his words. Clearly, his words regarding everlasting life, because notice what he goes on to say. Has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. These are all statements of eternal security. They have everlasting life right now. They're not going to come into judgment. They've already passed from death into everlasting life. And so the point is, and you and I were talking, that this is believing in the person for the promise. It's not one or the other. It's both.
So when we believe Jesus' promise, we're believing God the Father, what he has said about Jesus. Is that what this verse is saying?
And we're believing Jesus too.
Right.
If you don't believe the promise of everlasting life, you're not believing the Father or the Son.
Mm-hmm. The promise is connected to the person of Jesus. The person is also connected to the promise. You can't separate the two. Right?
Right. All through John's gospel, to believe in Jesus is to believe in him for what he promises. A good example is John 4:10, where he's talking to the woman at the well, and he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. And he goes on in the dialogue to explain those two. The gift of God, he explains in verse 14, is everlasting life. Which is interesting because Paul calls the gift of God everlasting life in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Then he goes on to say, in terms of who it is that speaks to you, that's the Messiah. She says, we know Messiah is coming. He says, I who speak to you am he. She now gets it. This is the Messiah, and he's promising everlasting life that can never be lost. One drink, I'll never thirst again. That's a statement of eternal security. And so you can't believe in the person without believing what he promises. You know, a lot of people have this vague idea that we're saved by believing in the Father or believing in Jesus or both, but there's no content to it. They yeah. just say, well, I believe him.
Yeah, just believe.
Well, what does that mean? And then other people say, no, no, the content is deity, death, resurrection. I call it DDR, right? If you believe in his deity, Jesus' deity, his death, his resurrection, you're born again. But the problem with that is there's no verse that says, if you believe that, you're born again. Some people mistakenly go to 1 Corinthians 15:1-11, but actually those verses do not say, if you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, you have eternal life. They say that is the good news that we are going to be resurrected and we are going to be glorified, but that the salvation in 1 Corinthians 15:2 is a present ongoing salvation if we hold fast Paul's gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So that really what 1 Corinthians 15:3-11 is a sanctification message. We need to hold fast to that message in order to remain spiritually healthy.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
And so, Mark, I would say, no, you don't believe either the person or the promise. You believe in the person and the promise. That's the gift and the giver in John 4:10.
Yeah, you believe in the person for what he promises. You can't separate the two.
Okay, let's take the current election cycle now, and I think this will probably air after the election, so we'll already know who won. But let's say that you're a Democrat. Well, one of the issues is the economy. In fact, most people say it's probably one of the leading issues. If you vote for the Democratic candidate for president, or president and vice president, you're believing they are going to do a better job with the economy than the Republicans. Don't both parties promise that they're going to do the best job with the economy?
Yeah, I think they all at least claim they're going to be the ones that will,
right.
you know, bring this economy to the next level. Yes.
Right. And so let's say you say, I believe in Kamala Harris, or I believe in Donald Trump. My point is not to get into politics. We don't do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter to me for the sake of the discussion which one is going to be better on the economy or which one is going to be better on the border issue, right?
Right.
Unless you're a single-issue voter, you're concerned about all that. But ultimately, whatever they promise, if you're a single-issue voter, then you either believe what they're promising or you don't. And let's say it's the economy. Then you either believe Trump is right, he's going to do best for the economy, or you believe Harris is going to do best for the economy. But you can't believe in Harris without believing something about her, something she's promised. And you can't believe in Trump without believing something he's promised. And it's not just a matter of character. As many people point out, they both have flawed characters, right? You're not voting for their character per se. You're voting for whether you believe they will fulfill what they promise. Now, in the case of Jesus, of course, his promise requires his character because he's making an audacious promise that the one who believes in him has everlasting life. So unless his character proves that he's God in the flesh, he can't fulfill that promise. Mm-hmm. Now, I suppose someone could believe that Jesus has the authority of God and can carry it out and not believe that he's God in the flesh. But that's a whole separate discussion. The point is, and I think John Niemela makes a great point. We have an article at faithalone.org about this, and he said, you can't believe Jesus is a mere man and believe that he gives everlasting life to those who believe in him. You've got to believe that he has the authority to do this.
I mean, if he's promising everlasting life, you have to believe that he can give it to you.
Right.
Right.
Well, not only can, but that he does.
That he does, yeah.
So he can, but he also does.
Yeah.
And ultimately, don't you think I'm right? It's an audacious promise?
Well, of course. I mean, it's a claim that if you believe in me, I'm going to give you everlasting life for that. I mean, who could claim something like that unless they're the Son of God? And he proved that he could fulfill his promises with all the signs he did in the Gospel of John and dying on the cross and rising again.
And by the way, no other religion does that. Abraham never made that promise. Moses mm-hmm. never made that promise. Muhammad never made that promise. Buddha never made that promise. None of the great religious leaders ever made the promise, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Jesus made that promise, and not just once, but over and over and over again. So, Mark, it's not believe in the promise or the person. It's believe in the promise and the person. When we believe in the person of Jesus, you're believing in him for what he promises. It's not just some nebulous faith in Jesus. It's specific faith in him for everlasting life. In fact, could you read again as we close, what is it we say in our affirmation?
Saving faith is the conviction that Jesus Christ indeed guarantees eternal life to all who simply believe in him for it.
Yeah, because that basically is what John 5:24 says. That's what John 3:16 says. That's what John 11:25-27 says. And there's about two dozen statements in the Gospel of John to that effect. And then the rest of the New Testament has 100 such statements. In fact, I have a book called 100 Faith Alone Verses in the Bible. There are even some in the Old Testament. Well, thank you, Mark. And let's
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, can a person who adds to believing in Jesus still be saved? Please plan to join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.